everybody. The poem... Is this good?
Okay.
The poem is called A History of My Private Life. And in case you don't know, because why would you? A History of My Private Life is taken from the 5-volume academic series called A History of Private Life, just about the history of culture. So that's what the title is derived from. A History of My Private Life. White shoulders in a mineral pool, defeated looking hairline, political turmoil and gelatinous promenade to the locker room. Elizabeth Taylor, wearing blue that matched Tehillet, whispered to me in a dream, "It's time you give up this silly preoccupation with decadence and Catholicism and join me in the purity of the tribe." I wondered which tribe and marveled at her Hebrew fluency. Only upon waking did I remember that neither of us speaks Hebrew. I should really refill my asthma inhaler. I ran out in Amman over a month ago and have been surviving on temporary relief puffs. I emailed a former student with my same name who does not take an asthma inhaler. I may regard him so highly because he is a version of me without asthma. Dirt beneath my fingernails ever since the archaeological dig. A friend didn't see me when she was in town because she was spending so much time with her girlfriend, whom she broke up with a week later, resenting my peripheral role in the lesbian meltdown more than the friendship slight. Which is more urgent, the asthma inhaler or the HIV test? Unlike Liz, I have studied Hebrew. Like Liz, I still cannot speak Hebrew despite weekly lessons. Missing my copy of A History of Private Life, Volume 1, I think I left it at a Marriott in New York after a canceled flight, secretly hoping for the cancellation, since that means a hotel room, free breakfast, and maybe a grinder boy, negative on prep. A short history of my private life. My best friend stole money from me on account of his alcohol problem. I moved into a small apartment and nervously inspected some body pimples, continuing to delay the asthma inhaler, an HIV test, an overactive bladder to distract me. Staying up until midnight to read the next day's horoscope, 80-something-year-old friend taught me the adjective horoscopic. I'd like to clarify that I do speak some Hebrew. My tutor is world-class. He taught Maryland Torah. A history of my private life? A play. Mother asked me to define pulchritude. I changed the subject when I couldn't remember in order to maintain the appearance that I'm infinitely more educated than she is. The curtain lurches down, Oedipally. Sick in bed, third time this year. Pale woman in black brings you hot tea. With a sip that burns your tongue, you realize she is the one making you ill. WebMD's possible explanations for tinnitus. Brain tumor, imminent hearing loss, depression, teeth grinding. I like when it abruptly changes pitch. My surroundings seems to almost change colors along with it. A history of my private life. A very short introduction. A psychiatrist said my best friend is a psychopath. I said, don't egg me on like that. I had a black girlfriend in high school who was too Christian to do anything genital related. Once, eating ice cream, she suggested we dry hump in a Dillard's fitting room. I agreed wholeheartedly, my reluctance repressed for security reasons. Is it right people, wrong friendships, or right friendships, wrong people? Joan Crawford in Autumn Leaves. I've never had an occasion to meet a psychiatrist, and I don't want to. Why point out the girlfriend was black? I'm so uncomfortable. We'll censor that in the second edition. Is nothing important? Asked an English girl in a D.H. Lawrence novel. I'm not sure, said the girl on the train, but there is someone in your life whom you must get as far away from as possible. First day of class, totally useless. Except the distribution of the syllabus. Required reading? A History of Private Life, Volume 2. There are 3 life cycles in traditional numerology. No one accepts Discover credit card overseas, but that's all I brought. My 3rd life cycle may involve institutionalization or a large inheritance, maybe both. Beckett and his mom took a 3-week road trip in England. My mother has never seen the ocean. Best friend peeks his head out of the bathroom, still sitting on the toilet. Says something manipulative that I comply with despite myself. Glamorous pale woman dressed in black offers you tea. You accept, but only pretend to drink it. Pour out half of it when she isn't looking. Dregs coagulating into an omen. How lucky to be against interpretation. Kill the academic inside you. Go on, do it. Burn your copy of A History of Private Life. All 5 volumes. You don't like your tea? I love it, you reply. You poured out half of it when I was in the other room. I can see it in the sink. friend on the phone. You have a certain naivete when it comes to addicts. Psychoanalyst on the phone. You are a collaborator in your own destruction. A history of my private life. A Malthusian catastrophe. Pale woman in black, dead of a heroin overdose. You inherit her library, boxes and boxes. Toss them all into the Mediterranean from the port of Jaffa. Take a look around. No one saw you. Stuff just one of her tattered volumes into your satchel. A History of Private Life, Volume 3. Sell it to a used bookstore immediately, right next to the pharmacy. Is it really a poem if it doesn't rhyme? Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Sartre's grave, vulgarly adorned with lilies and metro tickets. Is the septum a grave? The grave of Huysmans had a wooden turtle on it yesterday. Today it's gone. What kind of a tomb raider chooses a novelist for his victim? In third grade, Adam fell from his bicycle, returning to school with scabbed cheeks like the craters of Mars. Whispered faggot by the pencil sharpener. Ted dug his nails into those craters and walked home, suspended. Dried blood on his fingers beneath his chewed nails. An archaeologist of Mars. €10 to enter the porno. Scorsese doppelganger shuffles into the darkroom, shoulders sagging, already defeated. Thank you for your interest in my private life. Who killed the woman in black? Wasn't me, said the chimney sweeper, disappearing up the flue. Best friend bought me a cake for my birthday. I bit into it, savoring the creamy middle. When it was gone, I felt my throat tighten, entombing my final words. My friend began to laugh. I killed her, he cackled, and now I've killed you. So ends this history at a table for two.
That's cool. I'd love to see that written down. Thank you. Can I have Connor McManus, please?
Thanks, sir. This is an introduction to something else I'm working on at the moment. It's called the Bog of Mash. The Bog of Mash River skirts the town along the bottom of the market yard. It flows from Derry Hollow Lake and out across the flatlands that sweep to the mountain. At Shane McKeown's rhubarb patch on the Ballinamore Road, it cuts under the narrow gauge railway. It flows along behind Jim Kane's slaughterhouse and by the Rockwell, the vegetable gardens at the foot of Dristurnan, and on into the town. It continues under Tom McGurl's bridge at the bottom of the hilly road, where the great chestnut tree grows. It slips gently along behind Tony McGowan's and across under the road at the Gunner McGee's tin hut. It runs on behind TJ Maxx, Crawford's, the bank, the market yard, and on towards the mill race at the jam factory in Carrignabrack, before flowing round the Fair Green and on towards Loch Allen. The Bog River gurgles along, brown and muddy, bringing news from the mountain. It was never that deep nor wide, though we thought it was deep and wide. A footbridge made from railway tracks traversed it at the back of Tom Jermack's. There's a pipe across at the bank, and there's another, larger one, at the back of Campbell's Harbour. There are stepping stones you can access from the back of Patsy Canning's onto the Fair Green. The green was where the circus and amusements and bonfires were held, and where the rock with the hole in it for the cure for warts was, and where my father once played with the twin McPartons and his little brother Turney. The Bog Brown River gurgles and babbles as it twists and winds itself around the town, sometimes telling the truth, more times telling lies. My father's grandfather had spent time in America as a ringmaster in a circus, and every morning with one foot firmly planted on the back of each horse, he stood proud and tall as he trotted them all the way up High Street and down Low Street and through the market yard to drink the cold, fresh mountain water from the Bog of Mash River. My father remained in constant conversation throughout the whole of his life, with the dogs of the town, with the Willy Wagtails, with the Swifts, with wild horses, with the river, with the crows nesting high up in the rookery over the town, clatters of them, returning home early when rain was due. Generations of crows have looked down on us, and of an evening they swirled around the tops of the trees at the back of the house. The crows from high up on their perch can spy on the nuns' gardening, in through Father McHale's back window, down on the school, down on the clubhouse, down on all the pubs' backyards, vegetable gardens, ramshackle greenhouses, clotheslines and ash pits. A crow picking thatch off the ridge of our house could observe our backyard with one eye and the public street with the other. My father would take pot shots at the crows pecking at the thatch. I don't think he believed that it would stop them, and he respected the crows as an enemy. He would often stand in our backyard and surmise as to the stories they might be telling each other, or the conversation they may be having as they chattered incessantly high above the house, planning their next assault. And if one should rise higher or squawk louder than the rest in sudden outcry, he'd wonder who said what to whom, and what were they thinking? Was there a row afoot? He could see the beauty of their blue metallic wings and the grace in their flight, and would wish he could take off from their high perch and soar high above the town and follow the bogomash, get caught on an updraft and gently let it take him, or fly upstream and rise with the ground to the mass rock until he could see the breadth of five counties, or drift like a feather back down to the cottage that nestles at the foot of the mountain and dream of apple orchards, damsons, gooseberry bushes and climbing roses. Around the town the river whispered, and who knows what stories it brought with it, and what stories it repeated over and over again, and who knows what stories the crows held high above the town. And when the wind was up and the river bubbling and breaking, the bog of mash might release its secrets to the crows, and when the crows flew out on a picnic, they might let one drop into the river, to bob and weave its way all the way from the mill race down to Limerick City. Thank you.
Richard Dow is spot on, thank you. Now we have Robin Rowland next, and her poetry books are still here, so if you're interested, right here. Thanks.
Oh, there they are, Thank you. So I thought I'd just read two quick ones from my new book, which is my 10th book of poetry. And there's near where we live, where Eta and I live, there's a very famous memorial to Alcock and Brown. They're pilots who flew across the Atlantic for the first time. And it's quite a heroic story, and they're very well known up there, and there's the Alcock and Brown Memorial and so on. But the thing is, I've been writing documentary poetry about history, and I've been writing from the other side. So I spend quite a lot of time in Turkey. So the first poem in the sequence of Sky Gladiatorials is called The Other Side of Things. Because one of the things people say about Alcock was the most amazing thing about Alcock was he bombed Constantinople during World War I. He was the first one to bomb Constantinople. So this is, and there is a book called My Family Portrait, which is written by Ifan Auger, who features in this poem as an 11-year-old child. The Other Side of Things. Air is crisp in the cockpit and seated with summer when he flies toward that once powerful city. Constantinople, desired, mysterious, Mimar Sinan's mosques of exquisite geometry defining its shape. Libraries bulge with rare illuminated books. A city lovely in both poetry and Churchill's dreams sits unaware of the bombs Alcock clutches under his plane. The boy, Ifan Auger, is 9. Father taken to the war, never to return. His small brother ill from hunger. Grandmother sharing their 2 rooms, hampered by new poverty. Their home burned out by fire. Everything of beauty gone. In Mamak Pasha Street, his mother struggles through the crowded market to forage, unused to being in public, to being touched like that. She barters her family wedding gifts and silk-woven rugs for any food possible. She sells them slowly, daily. That day, Ifan is carrying haricot beans and dried peas, when just behind the station on the cobbled street, across the Golden Horn, 3 planes appear. He never saw such a thing, wings and whirring. He wishes he could fly. His mother is rooted into the stone street. Deranged by fear, she grabs him to cower under a tattered short shop awning she believes will hide them from the eyes of pilots, field mice under a hawk's gaze. a roar, a shattering explosion, shaken earth and dust pall, the mutilation, cartloads of lolling heads, limbs akimbo, disconnected flailing stumps, and the surprised wounded, the de-limbed, faceless, the horses speared with their own carts. This was the first bomb. They meant to hit the War Office, but the bombs went wide, a man said. No one believed him. Okay, so just because Ita's doing love poems, I didn't want you to think that I don't have any. But mine don't end well, ever. And this one is a Turkish one. It's called Capture. The wind is wild through the olive trees, through the windows of the fast minibus, through my hair, like on his motorbike, gripping him tight, engine revving uphill. I am a wind vane in chaos. We head for Ezine and my long trip home, that intangible place, a shifting focus, a moving heart, a soul gripped and ungripped by love. I have taken off the shell ring he gave me from the beach, packed it carefully away, shelved like the too many years between us. Cut by shore rocks, worn by sea and its tumble, its beauty is in its worn nature. Passengers are crushed to each other. I feel bonded to their journey, cocooned in the soft rumble of Turkish voices. His eyes alive, he talks broken words into patterns that make it work. This companionship, this shared friendship. Young man, older woman, we muse on parting again, speeding toward the same bus that last time took me away, confused, trying to find a word for this. Do you remember, he asks. Of course. Warm, suntanned and sea-salted, my body is fluid, heart softened by his attention, his smooth hands protective. Shielding me, he has taken charge. I could travel like this forever, his leg pressed on mine. Ethereal happiness, suddenly pausing here. False heaven, he muses, perhaps, but heaven anyway.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you. Can we have Jack Shortland, please? Five-word winner.
This is a sonnet. Little Desperando. We can lavender blue, dilly dilly, and echo a hey ho, tune or two, and think we can diddle and whistle away the ripples of resurgent fear in us. We can tango dance and fandango dance and chant our own little desperando dance. But when life jolts and the heart in us bolts, then those cliff edges start to feel near for us. Whoa there and take rein, girl, and ease now. Bring it down to a nice trot and breathe now. Wait for a ripple of resurgent wisdom, and that's how the way will become clear to us. So we can look after what's ailing in us without losing the fondidly in us.
Ali was looking how to write sonnets. I know who to send them to. That was brilliant. Can I have Ray Harahan, please?
This is called Rain. Stern rods falling from the sky rend the delicate air to pieces. They themselves shatter on contact. They shed their being as a gift of life for thirsty greenery and parched soil. The second one, self-examination. Do Do you berate your eyes for what they do not see? Does your heart long to be that which you are not? Are you in your pride blind to your inalienable faults? And do you affect to despise whatever scares you most?
Thanks. Thank you. Can we have Mary O'Connell, please?
No.
Thanks, Will. This is called In Search of Mindfulness. The brain can be dissected, studied after death. Less tangible, we find the mind is more diffuse. To still its endless restlessness is what I wish. Notions not my own break into my awareness, like flickering fish released by some meddling magus. They dart into my brain as if it were a pool, flitting away each time I try to push them out. Sometimes the water seeds with countless writhing shapes, as flashing fins erupting turn pool to roiling pit. To calm its turmoil is always my endeavor. I love when gentle ripples ring out to the edge, when pool, changing to mirror, lets me glimpse my soul. Whenever I feel I've reached a new dimension, thoughts swim up to taunt me and push me from the goal of seal, setting into stillness, sinking down to peace. I fling them from the reeds to flounder on the bank. All too soon they slither back, churn inside my head. Being mindful of the struggle is all I can achieve.
Thank you, Mary. Can I have Patricia Walsh, please?
It's called prophylactic shock. Deadlier than the fate of the dot matrix printer, singing its own praises for getting none. None where credit is due, pushing drugs onto a suspecting audience, dissolving duties. Escape to a homeland, a frightful date. Lying down where expected, a nice conspiracy between you and your lover, obviating responsibility, taking care of business, pleading for cooperation, steep side crosshair hitting the spot. Form following function, suggestions derided, opted out of the human race a long time ago, scraping by on a preferable employment. Lack wet underwear, the only condition given. Corner lights, watch by and groan. Acting very strange, buffered by mental illness. The only cure is institutional bastardization. Lying awake in realization it was all wrong. Finally walking to a gainful occupation. Ringing desperation, being fed alternative truths. Dead from abuse, karma actually fulfilled, missing various pieces from this elusive jigsaw. An insane legacy suffers from its longevity. Remembered in fits and starts by countrymen, printed like a tapestry on a fault uphill. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patricia. Can we have Max Creedon next?
Oh,
oh, there he is. Just to finish, guys.
Is she there?
Is she in June?
I stuck an insect with a series of just improv sketches and poems. I've done a really interesting photographic exhibition. So you're stuck with the one out tonight about I did the Camara Corpses the last night. but tonight it's this lovely woman's face. Yeah, she was guardian of a temple. So these were done in Camerton. So she's kind of spoke to me. Where are my children? Do they think of me? My brow was furrowed with dust from the street will it end. My path of gods. Let my soul take wings, escape samsara, find Moshka. They will chant mantras by my grass mat, and the water of the Ganges will wet my parched mouth. So the song goes, the little song lasts, sorry about that. But I thought Eileen was going to do an improv, and we do a jazzy one after. So I do the set song, and then I just have to take you with a fast, quickie one.
Go on,
everyone.
Come on, Eileen.
This is just song going to turn to last. The battle's lost, I'm with defeat. I am to count costs. Surrender each script heartbeat. It's time that I try to say goodbye to the times of me and you. Times of me and you. The race we ran. Memories of our golden times. It's time that I try to say goodbye to the times of me and you. The times of me and you. Remember every moment. Reach up for your hand. Brother, you call me from my dreams. In some crazy, tragic land. Retrace the clock. Turn back the hands of time. It's hard to block what we thought was yours and mine. Oh, when I needed you, we sang a little bell. Said secrets would come true. Girl, don't look him in the eye. It's time that I try to say goodbye to the times of me and you. Time for me and you. Time for me and you. So it's that's so dreary. I'd have to sing a little fast one. With Eileen Healy doing Stefan Rapelli. Okay, so I'll do the fast one more to cheer up because it's a short song. So this is for all the unusual sound engineers I've worked with before they were breached their own. There's light and spirit, it's augmented by VSB, and then there's sound and it's augmented by sound engineers. The sky gizzard can watch for waves up there. One listened and found the earth's ambient sound. That whoosh of atmosphere passing through here, saying that there be me like and crash into ground. Light came at its own speed, spinning its light beams, illuminating all, but without music it seems. The quiet planet said its plain chant was dull. The young walls of Babylon sound, plain chant just love, plain chant love. Ominous for Biscom. We need a new poet to color each tone, so the art was born in the language of sine curves. The bass beat was built for foundations to rock, hypercursive beeping rivers on top, verticals, triangles, symbols to greet you. He's in the box the sun creator seeks you. So gift the earth then, rise to heaven, ease to the ground, now syncopate them, now syncopate them, oh yeah, and that's in the box.
That was groovy. Beautiful guitar playing, Max. Well done.
Thank you.
Can we have Charles Clark, please?
Thank you. Two short coins by Brown. I thought we needed something very melodious after what we just heard. Home thoughts from abroad. Oh, to be in England now that April's there, and whoever wakes in England sees some morning unaware that the lowest boughs and the brushwood sheaf round the elm tree bold are in tiny leaf, while the chaffinch sings on the orchard bough in England now. And after England, when May follows, and the white thrush bills and all the swallows, hark where the blossom pear tree in the hedge leans to the fields and scatters on the clover blossoms and dewdrops at the bent spray's edge. That's the wise thrush. He sings his song twice over, lest you should think he never could recapture the first fine careless rapture. And though the fields are rough with hoary dew, all will be gay when noontide wakes anew. The buttercups, the little children's star, far brighter than this gaudy melancholy. And he became, of course, he belongs to that period when England had become the greatest power in the world, the great imperial power, and some of them thought it was rather nice. But Browning, of course, actually chose to live in Italy. Home thoughts from the sea. Nobly, nobly, Cape St. Vincent to the northwest died away. Sunset ran one glorious blood red, reeking into Cadiz Bay, bluish with the burning waters full in face, to where Trafalgar lay in the dimmest northeast distance, dawn Gibraltar grand and grey. Here and here did England help me. How can I help England? Say, whoso turns his eye this evening, turn to God to praise and pray, while Jove's Spanish is longer, silent to a wrath.
Thanks very much for that, Charles. Give Ciarán up next, please.
It's called A Promise. You're all land displays really, making use or misuse of drifting property floating into your possession, a spiraling obsession with the ever-present out of reach, the prototype of which you've shown to your son in an unframed film photograph. Hey son, here, ain't that a laugh? By the time you're my age and a half, these'll be what you have. And tell me now, ain't that a trap? To be always worth what you lack, talked him there with the bivy bag. I could hear you change your track. Not the first nor last nor second fiddle, but three sheets to the wind, past, past. Taking a bath or having a good laugh at those who've come to no shame. Wondering, was it spat at them, or do they hoard it and know where it grows and spit it out and spread it? Waltz in and off the stage so brave in his crimson cape, dying, sighing, realizing the sorry emptiness of a shameful concept, as your life is worth living more than another life worth living because of X, X case rules. That's just the machine working, a call to order, so it seems. Well, I don't take instructions from machines. And I won't be shamed into it nor laughed at.
You couldn't know how far gone we are past that. I'm coming at you fresh and wet from the womb, and where I build my castle, I will have my tomb.
Thank you. Thanks for that, Kieran. Okay, Rob, next please.
A Protestant Pope. My anger and frustration lead to my self-devaluation, to degradation, lethargy and sloth. Boom, boom. By sitting, smoking, thinking, procrastinating and drinking, I get to the place where I don't give a toss. Boom, boom. And the only thing I've found to consistently make my world go round is work, practice, effort. Call it what you will, and sometimes it's a bitter pill, but still, work, practice, effort leads to true relaxation instead of sitting around chewing off your fingernails in agitation. Work, practice, effort.
So, you have a bit of time left. Does anyone else want to jump in the open mic?
One part, you see,
Okay.
Yeah, come on, Michael.
Boys, into you for a poem there, it's it.
Jeremy,
you keep... Ironmonger was an Irish, in the Irish diplomatic service at one stage.
Talk the other side of the mic.
It's a poem about Daedalus and Icarus. Let's see if I can remember it.
Okay, I'll
give it a go. As... Even today, the airman, feeling the plane sweat, suddenly seeing the horizon tilt up gravely, knows that for once Daedalus has slipped up badly. Drunk on the job, perhaps, more likely dreaming. High flyer Icarus, head butting down, skidding along the light shafts, back over the tones of the sea waves, heard the gravel voice stuttering trumpets of his heart, while back over the tones of the sea waves. The voice of Daedalus, I've lost it, guys. Too busy hammering another job, remembered him only in pubs. No bugler at all sobbed taps for the young fool then reported drowned, presumed missing, wing bones and feathers drifting in on the tide. Cash it. One by one.
Woo!